Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Remember when Messi was all the rage? Not that he isn't still great and still playing in MLS, but the buzz has died down significantly with the start of our football, Football de Americano. And now Deion Sanders in Colorado football has really grabbed the spotlight as the crazy story in the center ring of the circus. It was Messi in MLS, and maybe it will be again if Miami makes the postseason. But for now, it's all about Colorado. And even as I look up, I see a promo for the Colorado-Oregon game this Saturday on ABC, nationally televised. All kinds of attention. It is the story in college football right now. So Deion Sanders, who is the best coach in college football?
Let me see a mirror so I can look at it.
Oh.
You feel that?
What, you think I'm going to sit up here and tell you somebody else? you think that's the way I operate? That somebody else got that on me?
Deion certainly knows how to put on a show. Going back to his playing days when he was a two-sport star, he's always been a showman. And it does not change now that he's in Boulder as the head coach of the Colorado football team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Hump Show, which means you get to ask Amy anything. That comes up next hour. Send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can also find them on our Facebook page, the Bright Orange Box. And we will get to those, as I say, anything that's non-wedding, because the wedding edition of Ask Amy Anything, that comes up a little bit later on this week in a special video for you on our YouTube channel. So make sure you find our YouTube channel as well, named after the show. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Brian Howell to the show. And he is a beat writer who's in the spotlight, getting a lot more attention these days because the Buffaloes are all the rage. For the Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera, Brian is covering Deion's tenure. Let's go back to, say, the last month. The start of the college football season. Brian, what's it been like around the Buffaloes and around Boulder?
Yeah, super crazy. And, you know, we thought that the off season was, you know, fairly crazy. But then you start getting into the season, and each week of, you know, it's just kind of hit us that, like, okay, wow. I mean, this is kind of a big-time circus. And it really, you know, once we got to TCU and, you know, you saw the madness there with a, you know, big new kickoff was there for that game, and then the post game was just kind of, you know, kind of crazy, and the way they won that football game, and it's just kind of growing with each win that they've had. And, you know, last weekend to have, you know, College Game Day there and Big Noon kickoff and Lil Wayne singing as the bus, you know, run out of the field. They ran out of the field, and I'm hearing this song, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard like that for an entrance. I look down, like, wait, he's singing. Lil Wayne is on the field right now. So like, it's just, and The Rock was on the field. So like, all these things are happening. I'm like, what are we living in right now? So it's just been crazy.
What would you say, other than just the circus atmosphere, is the biggest change in culture with Deion Sanders as the head coach?
Well, that's the fascinating thing, is that, you know, there's all of this hype, all the things around him, surrounding him, the spotlight, all those things. But the biggest change is really the football team. You know, they're a good football team. They've got more talent, and they believe. You know, the one thing he has done, he's a master motivator, and he's got these guys to believe. And they believe in his message. They believe in this staff. They believe in what they're doing. And I've never been around a more confident Colorado football team. This is my 14th year covering them. I've never been around a team that has been this confident.
Brian Howell is the Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera, and we're pleased to have him with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I have to ask this. Is he filming a documentary? Why is there always a camera to capture these moments where he's yelling at his team about getting in on the fight, or he's asking them to repeat back to him? It's personal. There's always a camera.
Yeah, you know, the main reason is that he just likes everything to be recorded, and he's always been that way. But they are filming a documentary. You know, Amazon Prime did a documentary on his last season at Jackson State, and they're filming one right now on his first season at Colorado. So they've actually interviewed me for it, but they've been there all since, you know, from the spring, all summer. They're here right now. They've been around all over the place. In the press conference room, there's a sign outside of it that says, "Just be warned, you could be on camera, anything that happens in here. So if you don't like that, don't come in." Aside from that is Deion Jr. And a couple other people that are close to Deion, you know, film their own things with like their cell phones and other cameras for their YouTube channels. And Deion loves that. He likes to promote all those things, likes the transparency, and it's really helped some of those guys grow their YouTube channels as well.
So in no way is that a distraction for the team, for the coach, to have cameras, almost like it's a nonstop Hard Knocks.
For Deion, of course, he's used to it. You know, that's something that he's grown up with. You know, whether it's Florida State, the NFL, he actually had, I didn't even realize this, I actually stumbled upon it today, but he had a reality show on Oprah's network like 8 or 10 years ago. So this is just his life. Now, I think it's probably, you know, some of the players that were there in the spring, and it's been well documented that, you know, 40 or 50 some players from the spring are no longer here. I think for some of them, it was probably shock, and, you know, maybe that's part of why they left. But everyone that's here now, they know what they're getting into because they've seen it for months. And the 50 some guys that arrived in the summer, they knew what they were getting into. And Deion keeps telling us a lot of these guys, that's why they're here. They want all this. They want to the exposure. They want all these things. So I think a lot of the guys from what we're seeing have really embraced it and they love it.
Are you surprised at the fact that opposing coaches and other teams keep walking into the trap, the personal trap, the motivational trap for Deion?
Yeah. You know, especially Colorado State last week, that, you know, we saw it with Nebraska, you know, and what CU did with that and kind of made it personal. And then for CSU's coaches that last week, it was kind of like, what are you doing? You know, and I get it in some respects. You know, the whole thing last week was Colorado, and Colorado State's not even being talked about. He got Colorado State talked about. I think he kind of could have gone about it a different way by not taking a personal shot, but he did what he wanted to do, and Colorado State responded and played a pretty good football game. So maybe when that happens, maybe other coaches will say, hey, maybe I can get my team to do that as well.
How have you seen the fan base respond to the circus?
Well, I'll just talk about tickets. People that have worked at CU told me that they used to have, in previous seasons, they called them back pocket tickets, because there was people that worked at the university that they would say, just take some tickets, put them in your back pocket, and give them out when you see people, because they were trying to get people there. Well, that doesn't happen anymore, and now they're actually dealing with a new issue where people are using counterfeit tickets to try to get into the game because they don't have tickets. We've gone from back pocket tickets to counterfeit tickets, and you know, students camping out for tickets last week. Yeah, the fan base is insane. We used to kind of joke about the students, certain games, like, you know, will they arrive by the end of the first quarter or not? Well, both home games so far, as soon as the gates have opened, we see the students pour into the stadium, and they're eating it up. I mean, they're all in there like an hour before kickoff, and, you know, Shadur and Travis Hunter and all those guys are kind of playing to the crowd, and they love it.
Brian Howell is with us from Boulder talking about the phenomenon that is now Buffalo's football, or as I call it, the Boulder Buzz. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about the game against Colorado State. You mentioned Travis Hunter. We know Henry Blackburn, the Colorado State safety, has received death threats. I thought it was classy of Deion to say that's ridiculous, knock it off. But what's your reaction to that whole situation?
Yeah, I did think it was a dirty play. You know, he certainly doesn't deserve death threats for it. I thought it was a dirty play. I think Colorado State's, I don't know if it was their game plan or not, but I don't know if it was something the coaches talked about, but certainly some of the players clearly had a chip on their shoulder and wanted to be a little chippy, you know, and they were I mean, they had 18 penalties or something like that for almost 200 yards, a lot of personal fouls. So they were clearly, I think, trying to get under CU's skin, and they did a little bit. And I think that that one hit went a little too far, and I don't think there was intent to actually send Travis Hunter to the hospital, maybe send a message, but it kind of went a little too far. But it's unfortunate that it happened that way.
What is that relationship with Deion and his sons like under this microscope?
They're so close. I mean, that's been one of the fascinating things about him is he's such a family man, and that family is so close. I mean, his oldest daughter is on her own. I don't know where she lives, but four of the five kids are here at CU with him, and three of them are students at CU.
Wow.
His sister's his assistant, and her desk is right outside his office. He's moved his mom here. The family is super close, and he talks all the time about how much he appreciates having his sons there. Before every game, he kind of walks from the 40 to the goal line with Shadur and then back. And they always say that, you know, as he walks down, it's dad. And as they walk back, it's coach.
Wow.
You know, he and Shiloh had a nice moment after Shiloh's pick six the other night. And, you know, Deion admitted, hey, there's a few times a game I have a dad moment, and that was a dad moment. You know, he's definitely a proud dad.
That is really neat. All right, so coming up are a couple of pretty stiff tests inside the Pac-12 on the road at number 10, Oregon, and then the USC game the week after that. What are the biggest changes in terms of the way the team plays on the field?
Yeah, offensively certainly is the biggest change because they were horrible the last couple of years. And Shadur has 10 touchdown passes, which is the amount that CU had last year and the year before.
Whoa.
So we're more confident they're going to score. I mean, last week when they got pinned at the 2-yard line, last year's team might have gotten to the 10, you know, but Shadur leads them on a 98-yard drive. So that's the biggest difference is offensively. They have a quarterback now, and, you know, Shadur legitimately might be in the running for it to be the best quarterback CU's ever had. I mean, they haven't had a ton of really good ones over the years, but, you know, Cordell Stewart was there. Coy Detmer was there. So Shadur might actually be the best quarterback they've ever had. And that's been the biggest difference, frankly.
When you think about this matchup against Oregon, what factors do you think will determine the winner?
Yeah, they've got to play better up front. Their line just struggled. The offensive line is not great. And, you know, Shadur's been, if he's not the most sacked, he's the second most sacked quarterback in the country. Their running game has not really gotten on track. And now their best running back they have not had yet this season, Alton McCaskill, the transfer from Houston. And he might play this weekend. We'll find out. But they have to get that line going. They have to protect Shadur and run the football. But they also have to start better. You know, they had that great game against TCU, but they really haven't started strong offensively the last 2 weeks. And it's kind of put them in a little bit of a put them in a hole last week against CSU. And really – they sputtered and didn't really get going until the third quarter against Nebraska. So they would like to get a better start. I think if they start slow at Oregon, I think they're going to lose that football game.
What will be the greatest impact of the move from the Pac-12, which may or may not survive, back to the Big 12?
I think recruiting is probably going to be the biggest thing because they've always wanted to recruit Texas. And, you know, with them going to the Big 12 now and being able to play more games in Texas, I think that's going to help them get more recruits. Now, they've done a pretty good job in Texas in recent years, but I think that's only going to help. And it also, you know, Deion loves his Florida guys. You know, he talks about that all the time. And Central Florida is down there, and it's only one school, but I think it's going to help them maybe even get some of those Florida guys that he likes a lot.
The move itself is just one piece of this puzzle that's happening with conference realignment again. Mentioned having covered Colorado for a long time, so you've seen iterations of realignment now. The Pac-12, how can they save it?
Yeah, actually, my first year covering CU, they were in the Big 12. So
right.
I'm full circle. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Pac-12. It's unfortunate. It's been a really fun conference to cover. I'll miss it for sure. But certainly at this point, there's only two teams that are left as we look ahead to next year.
Right.
Curious to see what will happen. That I think my belief is that those two teams, Oregon State and Washington State, will somehow merge with the Mountain West schools. And whether they're called the Mountain West or the Pac Mountain or the Pac-12 or whatever it is, I think the Pac-12 name could survive just because it's a stronger brand than the Mountain West. But it's unfortunate to see, you know, what's happened to that conference because it's been a good conference, and it's funny now that the football program or the football profile right now is probably as good as it's been in a long time.
Yeah, and it's not just football. As much as conference realignment is about that sport, maybe men's basketball too, there's so many other student athletes that are caught up in the transition too. So at this point, will anything still surprise you about Deion and his program?
No, I don't think so. And you know, some of us have actually joked, like, okay, what's the next step? Like, what's the next level for crazy in this? And yeah, and we kind of joke, like, all right, if he gets Taylor Swift to perform a halftime show at some point, then we know it's gone off the rails here.
Fantastic.
So, and we don't put anything past him. You know, once we see, like, Lil Wayne out there rapping and The Rock, like, who knows? He could do anything at this point.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. All right, well, you can find Brian on Twitter at BrianHowell33. Long time covering Colorado football, but nothing quite like this. For Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera, I'm sure you get many requests. So, Brian, thank you for a couple of minutes.
You bet. Thanks for your time.
Interesting stuff. Inside Buffalo's football. Inside the Boulder Buzz. It's my thing. Baker's back, baby. That's my BBB alliteration, but the Boulder Buzz. The Buffalo's buzz in Boulder. Boulder's buzzing in Buffalo. No, that doesn't make sense. It's just me mixing up my B's. Because I do love alliteration. I recently tried to tell my fourth and fifth graders at church that alliteration is a great literary tool. Do you know what I got in return from them? Blank stares or facial expressions that indicate what they're thinking is, man, is she weird. I got very excited about it, okay? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's see. Oh, Facebook page too. Sorry. You've got your chance to ask Amy anything about 90 minutes from now. Tom Brady, wonder how many times he's been asked the question over texts from friends or fellow retired players being the key phrase, or maybe it's coaches, or maybe it's actual teams, definitely fans, colleagues. How many times has he been asked the question, hey, are you going to come out of retirement and play for the Jets? You will hear his answer directly from the horse's mouth. That's next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Zach's our quarterback. We got a lot of faith in Zach. We're really excited about his opportunity. But we're rolling with Zach and excited for this, excited for him. And like I said, this opportunity that he's going to get.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Robert Saleh used to rave about Zach Wilson before Aaron Rodgers came along. And since Aaron glows in the dark, or it's past tense, glowed in the dark, all of a sudden, Zach Wilson was the forgotten man. Now, it makes sense considering that the Jets tried to quit him. In fact, they benched him twice last year. And had it not been for the fact that he was uber cheap and already had a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, they likely would have dumped him before this season. They didn't. And lo and behold, here he is. It is the business of football. He's back starting again to the tune of 3 interceptions in the second half against the Cowboys on Sunday. Nearly 26 million people saw it on average. All that to say, Robert Saleh has gone back to promoting and praising some of the time Zach Wilson. Of course, they will likely need to bring in another quarterback because right now, if Zach would get hurt, which has happened, they would have Tim Boyle as their QB or Randall Cobb as their emergency QB. Good thing that he signed there when Aaron Rodgers landed in New York. So you can see the conundrum. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. It's not a secret. Tom Brady's available. His name was floated out there almost instantly. As soon as it became apparent that Aaron would miss significant time, and then as we found out, the rest of the season with the ruptured Achilles. Brady pre-records his I think it's live on Mondays on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and if it's not live, it airs for the first time on Mondays, because I've heard it on Mondays before. But then on Tuesday is when you can get it on demand on SiriusXM. And it's kind of replayed in various places, various channels on satellite. So when he did his podcast last week, so going back to week one of the NFL season, Aaron Rodgers was one of the topics of conversation with Jim Gray, but he hadn't gotten hurt yet. So this was his first opportunity in the last couple of days to talk about Aaron's injury. And of course, the question comes up whether or not the Jets have reached out to him in the wake of Aaron getting hurt.
Next question.
Asked and answered?
You already know.
I don't know. Did I miss something?
As far as I know, I don't know everything.
As far as I know, I don't know everything. Oh my gosh. I can imagine the Jets thought about it, but I would be shocked if they reached out to him. I really would. He played for the Patriots. What are the chances he would even say yes, even if he wanted to play football again? Earlier in week one, he was honored by the Patriots at halftime of their game against the Eagles, right? That was the opener. Stop it. I mean, seriously. I am past the point at which I believe he's ever going to return to football. Also, he's a part owner of the Raiders, and I don't know if there are rules against that, but he owns another team. Isn't that a conflict of interest? Or he's a part owner of another team.
Well, if he wants to go out there and beat his own team,
that's...
I don't know.
Again, I don't know if it's against the rules. Are owners allowed to play?
Wasn't like Mario Lemieux had something with ownership when he
played
in the NHL,
NFL. They all have their own bylaws. I just can't imagine that the NFL owners would allow that.
It would be weird.
You bought a stake in a team. You don't get to play for another team. Yeah, it would be weird. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Next question.
Yeah. Actually, Deion Sanders was a guest on Let's Go, and he says that Brady has been a great example for his son, Shedeur Smith, who's the quarterback.
First of all, he loves you to life, and I'm just thinking about the moments when you was on the field with him and just showing him, just showing him little things. And he took all that stuff to heart, everything you do, everything you say, and you have no idea how many times I use you to get on his butt. So you think Tom has a Maybach in college? Huh? You think Tom is going to roll Ross Phantom in college?
For like sure.
All the time.
Well, Tom Brady did have advice to young players like Shedeur.
Look, if you want to be a great receiver in the end of the day, I'd go talk to Fitzy. You know, if I want to be a great corner, I want to go talk to Prime. You know, and, you know, for quarterbacks, you want to find those other quarterbacks that you like. Okay, I like that. I like that. Now, for me, I always have people I like. A lot of them, I did a lot of things different than, but I love Joe Montana. I love Steve Young. I love John Elway, all the greats. But you just, you know, that's who you want to talk to. You want to soak it in. You want to watch the film. And unfortunately, now with social media, there's so much that, you know, you can see.
I actually did see the story, and I'd have to go back and find it because I'm not sure it's up on my computer. But I did see the story, I think, of Shedeur buying a really expensive car and Tom Brady giving him advice about that because he spent money on this really expensive vehicle. I'll have to go back and find it. But it was definitely a love fest between Brady and Deion. And Tom Brady actually says he loves the way that Deion coaches and the way that he's able to incite loyalty and get all the guys to buy in to what he's selling, essentially.
I always worked hard for the coach. I wanted it. And the harder he pushed me, wow, the harder I went. If he wanted to treat Wednesday like a son, I was ready to go, you know? So, yeah. They're going to do what you ask them to do. Shedeur, for you, the more you push those guys, the more they're going to be willing to do. Because in the end, they're going to want your validation with your receivers. So I always, the guys you find that you really connect with, you push them hard. And then you see how far they're willing to go. You know, and then you're really going to know who you got out there with you. Then late in the game, you know, Deb, this is the guy I need in the game because I know what this guy's all about. And I pushed him hard and he kept meeting the challenge. He kept stepping up. He wants this as much as I do.
Can you hear the passion? If Brady is like this when he's on Fox, he'll be a great analyst. I hope he doesn't dial it back, monotone. Try not to get too excited. And I know people at the beginning, maybe even last year too, were not huge fans of Tony Romo's excited jags where he starts to yell or laugh or whatever it is. Maybe it's just me. I feel like I've noticed that he's definitely dialed it back. Maybe there was some advice given to him. Hey, maybe save your outbursts for moments when it really matters. Not every single play, not every single big moment, because then it's like crying wolf, right? Fans are conditioned that you're just yelling and screaming and raving all the time as opposed to saving it for the big moments. And it was a lesson I had to learn early in my play-by-play career. If you get too excited and too hype and too up at the beginning of a game, well, then fans are conditioned to think that that's just how you are all the time, as opposed to recognizing that when you do add additional volume or excitement, enthusiasm to your voice, that, okay, something's really happening here. You know who was brilliant at that? It's going to drive me crazy. Hold on. I can see his face in my head. Okay. Hold that thought. I'll come back to it. Sometimes names escape me because we have a lot of names, especially during football season. There's a lot of names. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page. If you can't remember my name, it's really easy. Ask Amy anything. The name's right in there. It's right in there. So send your questions to our show Twitter or to our Facebook page. If you'd like to see the new video version of Ask Amy Anything, it will be out in mere days. In the meantime, I suggest you subscribe to our YouTube channel. First of all, it makes Jay over the moon excited, happy. Just makes his week, really. Yeah! That's what he does every time he sees a new subscriber on our YouTube channel. Or, if not to make Jay happy, simply so that you can get the notice, you could have, doesn't the video get sent to you via email or the link, or you get an email when you subscribe to the YouTube channel? Don't you get a notification of some sort when there's a new video?
Yeah, it'll say After Hours just posted a new video. Check it out. It'll give you right to the link.
See, there you go. Easy peasy access. That's another reason. If not for Jay, then do it because you get initial notification of the wedding version of Ask Amy Anything, the video version, which will come out in mere days, as promised. I know we're a little bit late, but we have football, people. Football. Hey, before we take our break, if not Tom Brady, then who could play quarterback for the New York Jets? If Zach Wilson doesn't settle in and get it together and they're not able to start winning, they do believe they have a team that can make the playoffs, even without Aaron Rodgers, because of how good the defense is and their skill position players. So then, if Zach Wilson doesn't get his act together, they are going to look for another quarterback. And I'd heard this name floated around, but then it was out there more loudly on Tuesday morning when former NFL MVP and our friend Boomer Esiason dropped the name on his own New York morning show. So WFAN, that's our New York affiliate. Who should the Jets turn to if they lose to the Patriots and become a little more desperate at QB?
Most guys thought that Carson Wentz would be the answer because you wouldn't have to give up anything. And I know that Carson Wentz has a perception about him. But, you know, Frank Reich did not want to cut Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. He didn't. The owner did because the owner overreacted to two losses at the end of the season. But he also had COVID.
I like that little tack on at the end. He also had COVID. Do you remember what happened when Carson Wentz got cut going back? So this is now not last season, but the season before. Remember, he was with the Colts. Last season he was with the Commanders, right? That was about as fruitful as Baker Mayfield with the Panthers. Anyway, I'm not sure who lasted longer. I think Wentz actually spent the entire season with the Commanders, but he didn't start. They went back to Taylor Heineke. Then they went to Sam Howell. So he maybe started. He got hurt, I know that, but he maybe started, what, four games? Five games? I'll look it up at some point. Maybe a Commanders fan can let me know. A-Law Radio. Anyway, Carson Wentz is a free agent, which is what Boomer means when he says you don't have to give up anything to get him. If you go to another team who has a backup quarterback that they believe is viable, they also know that you're desperate. If you're the Jets and you come knocking on their door inquiring about a backup QB, well, it's because you're desperate. And they're going to charge you a little extra. It's going to be a surcharge, if you will. I would think, if it's me and I'm running a franchise that has a backup QB that the Jets want, I'm asking for a third round pick at the very least. Maybe a second round pick, depending upon who it is. Because the Jets have no choice unless they want to go with Carson Wentz. And so he goes on to say, Boomer goes on to reference, now again, Frank Reich was in Indianapolis, so it wasn't the end of last year because he'd already been fired. Jeff Saturday, Remember the Jeff Saturday era? Anyway, Frank was in Indy at the end of the year before, and Carson Wentz and the Colts had a chance to make the playoffs. In fact, they were going to be a wild card in the AFC South. The Titans won that division in 21. So they had a chance to make the playoffs. All they had to do was win one of the last two games. And in both of them, Carson played very poorly. It wasn't his fault entirely, of course, but he played really badly. That was actually the year that Jonathan Taylor ran roughshod over the league, right? Remember, there were questions about why they weren't leaning more on Jonathan Taylor. But anyway, defenses certainly were doing the best they could to stop JT. So Carson Wentz played so badly, and the Colts played so poorly in those last two games of the year that they missed the playoffs. And what Boomer is saying is that Frank Reich did not want to cut Carson Wentz. That was not his choice. We know that Jim Irsay is overly involved in personnel decisions. He may not be the GM in title like Jerry Jones is, but he's just as involved in personnel decisions. He's the one that hired the coach and Jeff Saturday, who was reportedly Irsay's drinking buddy. Right, so he's very involved. I mean, is it Chris Ballard that's the GM there? I'm sure Chris is thrilled. Anyway, you know what you're getting when you take a job at the Colts. So that's what Boomer is saying, is that this wasn't Frank wanting to cut him. This was the owner insisted because he was pissed. And also he tacks on that Carson had COVID. All right. So does that mean the Jets are maybe considering Carson Wentz? Again, he's not free, but you can get him for money. And I bet veteran minimum. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, that's me. Don't forget to vote for the TD of the week. That poll is still up and still running through the next couple of hours into our final hour, I suppose. And then we will reveal. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We're taking your questions for Ask Amy Anything as well. Let's see. What do I want to do next? Oh, you know what? Damian Lillard. Interesting. Forgot all about Damian Lillard, right? Well, he's spicy these days. He's not holding back. There's no decorum left with Dame. Dame has zero chill. And he's taking aim at a fellow.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
Hello, team in the West.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Harris holds onto the ball, finds Dame off the screen. He goes left, crossover, steps back, fades away, three, buries it! Franchise record, 64 for Damian Lillard. He is crushing every scoring record in franchise history. 121-105.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Damian Lillard has announced his intent to break up with the Portland Trail Blazers. He wants nothing more to do with the Blazers after all these years of his career. And yet the Blazers are not moving quickly enough for his liking. To this point, and it's the quiet season in the NBA, to this point, there have been no trades, though there's been a fair number of inquiries. Blazers are holding out until they get what they want. And I've talked about the example of the Houston Texans waiting an entire year of paying Deshaun Watson without him playing so that they could get what they wanted. In a trade, they wanted to make out like bandits. And they got everything they wanted and then some. A lot of people have applauded what the Texans got in return for Deshaun Watson when they were going to get rid of him anyway. Well, Damian Lillard is ticked because the Blazers haven't sent him anywhere else. And he's made it very clear he wants to go to Miami. But the Blazers don't like what the Heat are offering in return. So to this point, the answer has been, nah. Try again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dame has stayed loyal to Portland for a long time. He wanted to win there, but now has decided that it's not possible. The Blazers haven't done enough to build a winning team around him, thus the breakup.
See, this is the type I am. I never fold under nothing. Yeah. I sink with the ship. I go down.
Oh, that's right.
That's how I would do it. But I think, it's a way that you have to, you know, go about things where you can't be an idiot, you know. You say, I'm going to stay down. I'm going to ride till the wheels fall off and all that stuff. I don't have to prove that to nobody. Like, I've shown it. I mean that in my heart. But that's like me and you saying, man, like, no matter what happened, we ain't telling on each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We'd never tell on each other. And then a day comes where I'm still playing by those same rules. Like, me and you want the same thing. We're going to go out together. And then that ain't the code you want to live by no more. So when that happens, me and you can't be how we was.
Certainly sounds like he's pointing the fingers at the Blazers for changing the way that they operated with him and around him. And that, hey, our relationship was damaged because the Blazers changed the rules, because the Blazers changed their approach to the relationship. That's from the Back on Fig podcast. Now, he did a different podcast, It Is What It Is, in which he was asked if he still wants to be a Blazer.
In a perfect world, I could spend my entire career in Portland.
In a perfect world. We know there's no such thing as a perfect world. Well, what about Golden State? The Warriors are definitely winners, and he knows it well, having lost to them or having run into them over the last few years in the Western Conference.
As far as, like, Golden State, like, I respect what they, you know, what they've been doing over the last 8-9 years or whatever. And I'm from there. Obviously, that's home, but I can't go be a part of that.
I agree.
Like, they done won 4 championships. Like, what I look like going to try to do that and say, oh, I'm joining my home team. Like, no, it's somebody that played my position that's, you know, behind LeBron, the best player of this era. You know what I'm saying? So it don't even, to me, that don't even make sense. I'd never do nothing like that. I lose every year before I go.
Oh, missed that. Did we cut him off? I'd lose every year before I'd go to Golden State is essentially what he said. That's the money cut. And I apologize because I jumped in a little bit early there. I understand what he's saying, though. It does not make sense to me that he would go to Golden State when he'd be playing behind Steph. What are you going to do, bench Klay Thompson? No.
Who cares?
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Do we have time for 71? Okay. So his ultimate goal, obviously, to be a champion.
I'm 33 right now, and if I'm 38 or 39 and I walk away from the game, they're going to talk about Dame like, oh, Dame was a rapper. Dame, you know, scored the most 40-point games in this stretch. Dame has 70.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about the accolades when those specific things are a discussion, but really they're going to be talking about Michael Jordan, Bron, Steph, you know, Magic Johnson. They're going to talk about those dudes, but I got to do stuff in a way where, like, man, these gonna be thinking about me when I walk away until my name becomes a topic. But so I got to do what I got to do for me. I got to live my life how I see fit. And, you know, for me, that's do everything I can to give myself a chance to win a championship. And in the process of that, I'm a run it up.
Interesting that he brings up the names LeBron, MJ, right? Steph, of course, because those are the gold standards. When Kobe as well, when it comes to winning titles, Shaq too. And he's saying, like, you can talk about my accolades, you can talk about my rap music, you can talk about all this other stuff. What you won't be able to say is that I won titles. So that's what I'm chasing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.